us into our next subject matter. And one of my favorite subjects is growing homegrown tomatoes. And this year, I got to say, purple Cherokees are my favorite heirloom that I found. It's like this dark, dark purple tomato, and it tastes so good. Nothing like those things you get on every platter in America, right, in the restaurants. It's just like terrible stuff. So I'm always on the lookout for new ways of growing things, and because I'm a pretty, I consider myself a pretty sophisticated gardener. I always have a good slew of tomatoes and cukes and zucchinis and all kinds of stuff and peppers and that kind of stuff. But I don't consider myself like a farmer, but I think there was a bit of farmer in me because I must have grown potatoes or something, another life in Ireland or something. I'm Kevin Gallagher. We're WPKN, and my next guest is Joe Magazzi. He runs a company called Green Earth Agriculture. Their slogan is Go Green, Save Money, Grow Better Plants and Turf. And I've been using some product that's similar to his. But Joe and I met through over this kind of stuff. It's called it's Beneficial Microorganisms. And they say it's a breakthrough in biotechnology and biophysics that provides unprecedented growth, yield, and water efficiency to crops and turf. And to help me in this interview, I brought in our own WPKN Guy Beardsley from the Organic Farm Stand show. It's on Thursdays at noon quite often. And his daughter, Janelle, has joined us. Welcome, Janelle.
Hi. Thanks, Kevin. Nice to be here.
And Joe Magazzi. Welcome, Joe.
Thanks, Kevin. It's a pleasure to be here.
That's good. So tell us a little bit about your background, Joe, before we dive into beneficial microorganisms.
Well, I'm a microbiologist and a geneticist by trade. I was in the biotech industry for many years and got laid off about 3-4 years ago, right before we had a baby. And I was approached by a company to start selling biological products in New England. And we started it as a side project, and it's just kind of taken off from there.
People are interested.
Yes, exactly. So I've been able to convert myself from the biotechnology field to driving around and seeing beautiful farms and greenhouses and landscapes for a living now.
That's good.
Yeah. Joe, where do you hail from?
I'm from Connecticut, and we're currently located in North Branford, Connecticut.
Good show, North Branford. That's pretty convenient to most everybody in the state.
Yeah. Right. Nice and central, and we're right near Northford, which is a big agriculture area in the state, too.
Oh, indeed it is, right.
I want to ask Joe something. You were saying before that your college roommate had something to do with this field that you are in now, right?
Yeah, so that the long story is about a decade ago, my college roommate is on the business side of things. His name is Jeff Amato. He was getting married, and it was the night before their wedding. He asked me to talk to his father-in-law about, he said he had this crazy idea about using bacteria to help grow plants and turf, and he wanted me to talk to him because I was, have a microbiology background. I didn't know anything about agriculture at that point. So we had a conversation the night before his wedding, and it sounded plausible to me, and they started a company around that and his ideas. His name is Tom Selvig, and it's grown from that point on. I think part of it has to do with the fact that microbiology really works building soil health. It also has to do with the movements now for organics or greener growing practices and safer foods.
So you go through the entire agricultural field. It includes lawns as well as golf courses, probably.
Yeah. Really what we're promoting is soil health as opposed to, you know, specifically agriculture, specifically turf, specifically horticulture. So really anything that grows in dirt. And even hydroponically, people are using these principles now with microbiology. So even without dirt growing in water, straight water, we've seen you can do amazing things using microbiology.
Can you give us a real quick summary of the materials you use for these products? The basic materials that you start out
bacteria.
With.
Bacteria.
Yeah. The products that, I mean, there's different products on the market. The one that we're using specifically right now is strictly bacteria. It's the manufacturer has a fermentation process. And that's, you know, that's where their secret and that's where their art is in the process of fermenting it. All the bacterial strains that they use were naturally isolated from the environment. So these aren't genetically modified organisms. These aren't artificial or, you know, and nothing has been changed with them. They were taken out of ponds. They were taken out of the dirt. They were isolated and they're grown in a laboratory under safe conditions, and they're tested for pathogens.
We want to be sure that this is not, and you just mentioned it, no GMOs involved in this.
Exactly. No, these they've had this culture bank for over 30 years. So they started manufacturing these types of bacteria before it was even possible to do GMOs.
So, you know, for the audience's sake, you know, I've warmed up to this really quick. My wife is a health professional who recommended probiotics for my lousy stomach and gut. You know, and probiotics is bacteria, beneficial bacterias for the human body. We have millions and millions of different kinds of bacteria in our gut. And you can add it to augment your own system. And I'm sure a lot of people in the audience take this stuff. If you eat Activia, you are augmenting your system with bacterias that are grown someplace and put into the yogurt. So it's similar to that kind of thing. Am I right?
Yeah, that's exactly the way we market the products now, because when we started out, people were saying, what are you selling? What is this? Is it a fertilizer? And saying, well, it's bacteria. Well, you know, even when we first started, we didn't want to use the word bacteria. We wanted to say microbes because it scared people. But I think now with every time you turn on the TV, you see commercials for probiotics. I think it's a nice reference for people to understand what we're doing. We're really yogurt for plants. We're really probiotics for plants. That's exactly the right analogy to use.
And that's what warms you up to it. I mean, if you understand, and you know, I've talked to people and I just get excited because I'm having good results in my own garden with this kind of stuff. And the ones who warm up quickest are those who grow stuff for brewing. You know, they understand the process of
exactly
fermentation.
And, right, and they're using stuff similar to grow their products.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what this is. This is fermentation, and you're doing fermentation in the soil, and the plant itself is even doing fermentation.
So let's go. Some of the things, the benefits you say it has are two things that I'm interested in. One is that it reduces fertilizer use, which is an oil-based kind of system these days. Everybody, and that is a soil-depleting type of technique, as anybody who knows anything about growing stuff. You can throw all the Miracle-Gro on you want, but it's going to end up depleting your soil. And that's what a lot of farmers all over the United States are finding. Their soil is lousy. Wow. And then the second thing I'm interested in is the water retention. And so could you explain those two, why and how that works with these microbes in the soil?
Sure. When you look at soil, if you do a soil test, one of the key indicators of healthy soil is organic matter. So the amount of organic matter you have in the soil, organic matter is like a molecular sponge. It binds all the different micronutrients. It binds water. When you grow with traditional practices using just fertilizer and things that deplete the microbiology in the soil, which is really responsible for retaining and producing organic matter along with the plants, that organic matter gets depleted, and there's nothing in the soil to hold fertilizer and to hold water in. So essentially what you end up with is sand. And I've seen this, with traditional growers and growers that use synthetic chemicals, especially out in the Midwest, down in Florida, where we do a lot of work. Their soil is essentially sand. It's dead sand. And they have to put down 45% fertilizer in some of those cases. It's amazing the amount of fertilizer these guys have to use to grow inferior plants.
And how much does this reduce it?
This can reduce, our starting rate would be 25 to 50% less fertilizer. We have people using no fertilizers at all or very little or, you know, especially organic fertilizers.
That's me.
But the way it really works is if you think of the microbiology as the plumbing system of the soil, and this includes not just the bacteria but the beneficial fungi, it's the retention and delivery. Bacteria grow and fungi grow to their environment. So when you put nutrients down, when there's a lot of water around, you're going to get more bacterial growth. Well, now when these things go away, the bacteria will start to die off, the fungi will start to die off and re-release this. So you have a retention system. Not only that, there are organisms termed mycorrhizal fungi, which live on and in the root systems of the plants, and bacteria will actually get up and into the roots, up into the xylem and the phloem, essentially the vascular system of the plant, and on and in the root system. And so what they're doing is you put your, if you think about your water, you put your nutrients or, you know, your fertilizer down, the bacteria grow, they incorporate this into their cell bodies, they get up and into the plant, and as they die off up and in the plant, now you've had a retention system and you've got a delivery system. Mm-hmm. So it's really the plumbing system of the soil.
And one of the slides I saw of it was the symbiotic relationship between the microbes and the plant. You see some microbes actually in the roots and some outside, and they're transferring stuff back and forth under the microscope.
Yeah,
that's great because those little hair roots are vital to that plant growth. Yeah. Joe, just how does one use this material?
This is a liquid formulation because this is live bacteria, so it's applied as either a foliar or a drench. People can put it into their irrigation systems, our larger commercial farmers. And one of the things we found as a secondary, we didn't intend it this way, is that actually farmers or growers or commercial growers that are using this in their irrigation system are finding that they don't have to clean their irrigation systems as much. They don't get clogged as much because the bacteria will actually live around the plumbing system, whether it's PVC or metals, and they protect the system. They keep hard water, for instance, the calcium, from solidifying onto the pipe system. So
that's a real boon and boost to those people with a lot of hard water like we have up
there.
Yeah,
we have very hard water in this part of the country. Yeah, so that's
a
nice
thing. Soil have to be a certain pH to have this be effective?
No, it works. I mean, as long as your pH is between 2 and 9, anybody...
Two.
Yeah,
so that's pretty acidic.
That's what we say as far as the application of the product. But yeah, no, it'll work. We have, we work across the country throughout the world. So we have, in the West, the pHs are very high. You get pHs 9 mm-hmm. and 10 out in that area. Over here, we have pHs that are low, 5 or 6 range. And it works either way. The neat thing about microbes is that they control their environment. So especially the microbes in our products, they're vegetative bacteria, which means that they can't go to spore-forming bacteria, which a spore is an inert, it's like a hard shell. If there ever is a nuclear disaster, it's going to be the cockroaches and spore-forming bacteria that survive. These bacteria can't do that. They can't go to an inert state. So what they do is they have to control and change their environment to survive. They're survivors. So they form things called biofilms. So they secrete sugars, and they'll control the microenvironment, and they'll get on the root system and form these what are called biofilms around the roots, and they actually can protect the roots from
drought.
pH mm-hmm. drought, pH mm-hmm. extremes, and they can control what comes in and out. A lot of people will hear the term biofilms, and it has bad connotations in some areas, for instance, in dental bacteria forming biofilms, but actually biofilms are very beneficial, and in this way they help the plant control what comes in and out.
I noticed that happen. I planted 30 Colorado spruce up on my land, and I lost 6, but I think mainly because it was such a heavy drought this summer. Usually they just sort of root up, and I did some 7 years ago, and they're about 4 feet tall after 7 years. But my new ones with some of this microorganisms on them have started sprouting new growth immediately, and they rooted really, I mean, they're looking really nice. I'm really seeing a big difference between the ones I planted 7 years ago and this using this new stuff. So that's why I'm quite excited, and I brought you on here to talk about it. I want everybody to know that we got to bury the fertilizer and pesticide era.
Well, that is one of the things that I thought was the most fascinating coming from the human side of coming from human medicine or biology on that aspect to coming into the plant world is one of the first things when I started reading some of the science is that bacteria produce plant hormones. Well, why is that? Well, if you think about, from an evolutionary standpoint, bacteria are completely dependent on a plant for their energy. So a plant, something in the ecosystem has to perform photosynthesis. And in most cases, it's a plant. A plant will actually put about half of the sugars that it produces from photosynthesis, half of its energy, into the rhizosphere, out through its roots, through what are called exudates, sugars and energy, to feed the microbes in the soil. That's how important they are. So basically, those microbes can't divide and they can't flourish until the plant starts to grow. So what they've done is they've evolved mechanisms, including all the major plant hormones, gibberellic acid, cytokinins, and auxins. They'll produce these hormones to get that seed to germinate quicker and to grow quicker. And we're manipulating that relationship by adding microbes, because the sooner that plant grows, the better that plant grows, well, the better the bacteria is going to grow. They're dependent on each other.
Mm-hmm.
And just last week, there were a bunch of new research that came out, and we're just starting to understand the back talk. It works the other way too, because plants will actually put out in their exudates certain signals that we don't even know about yet. So if a plant is, for instance, nutritionally deficient, it will stimulate mycorrhizal to grow more, mycorrhizal fungi to grow grow hyphae, what are called, which is like their little outshoots to find more nutrients in the soil, or they'll recruit bacteria that can bring nutrients. And when they have disease pressure, they'll do the same thing. They'll recruit certain bacteria that can help them fight disease. So I think it's a really interesting thing that we're just starting to understand now.
What I'd like to make some comparisons to is our organic operation is dependent upon a lot of the meals, like the kelp meal, the fish meal, sure, the granite meal, and those aspects. There's not a lot of others, including azomite, green sand, and so forth. But we basically use compost. Now, how does what you're doing interface with that compost, which, of course, is strong on organic matter?
Yeah, well, compost is a wonderful thing. I think it's the best thing you can actually do, you know, especially as an organic farmer, because you're getting all different nutrients, and compost is actually, it's a biological inoculant. Nothing breaks down without bacteria and fungi. So what you're doing when you're composting is you're growing, you're fermenting bacteria and fungi. So when you put that out in the field, you're putting out all those nutrients, all that carbon matter that's broken down, or the organic matter,
yeah,
and microbiology, essentially. So and there's two different aspects and two different things you could do. One is called biostimulation, and that's what you're doing as an organic farmer when you put down the kelp and all these micronutrients. Is you're really putting things down. It's feeding the plant, but it's also feeding the microbiology, and you're growing microbiology and sustaining microbiology.
So that's what we're doing, but we didn't really realize it in those terms.
You didn't realize it. And one of the big jokes I always like to make is, you know, we think we're so smart, and especially in traditional or synthetic agriculture. And, you know, the Native Americans, thousands, hundreds, thousands of years ago, what did they do? They put fish down to grow their corn. Well, you know, we went through this whole synthetic phase, and now we're back to organics. And what are we using now? We're using fish fertilizers and
right,
biology. They didn't understand why it worked, but what the fish was doing is it was a great natural fertilizer, and it was also stimulating biological growth. So you're feeding the microbes, and you're feeding the plant.
I think the fish was better if it came from the ocean with the salt basic than it was if it was freshwater fish. But I suspect freshwater fish should also serve in a backup position.
Yeah, oh, no, absolutely. Anything you can do to take out of the ocean to bring back to land, and Kevin was talking about this before, is as we deplete the soil, all these nutrients run into the ocean eventually, and there's no return system. So I think anything you could do, kelp, fish, even salt water, there's
that's C90 now that they've mm-hmm. done
yeah,
that. But you have to be very careful on that, because a little bit goes a long way on that.
Right. And what you're doing is, you know, we think about traditional agriculture, we think about, you know, traditional fertilizers are NPK, nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium. Well, there's 80, 100 nutrients that are essential for plant growth.
Right.
And so when you only feed a plant NPK, you're really starving it for a lot of other things. So anything you take out of the sea contains just about every micronutrient, every element imaginable. You're bringing that back in, and you're feeding the micronutrients.
Well, that's great.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to just tell everybody they're listening to WPK, and where else can you hear stuff like this and hang out with Guy Beardsley and Janelle and Joe Magazzi from Green Earth Agriculture. We're talking about beneficial microorganisms, like 30-plus different strains of natural beneficial microbes and products that help plants grow in a natural way and 100% organic. And we're going to take a two-minute musical break and come back and talk about pesticides.
Pesticides. Screwed up my insides. What am I gonna do? In 1962, Rachel Carson warned about the silent spring. All this time we haven't learned a thing. Mom and Dan told me one day that the stuff he sprayed would always stay. He kills the bugs on his potatoes. He kills a lot more than that years later. Gravity pulls all things down, and everyone's got a drink well in. Safe.
Long Island's own Terry Winchell from her album Vice Versa. Thank you, Tony Ernst, our news director, for turning me on to Terry. And she's plays out in Long Island all the time, so keep an eye out for her when she's doing something live. That's called The Pesticide Song from Terry Winchell. I'm Kevin Gallagher. We're WPKN. I'm here with Guy Beardsley of the Organic Farm Stand and his daughter Janelle and Joe Magazzi. He's from a company called Green Earth Agriculture. It has a quantum growth product that we've been talking about, which is just there's a few products out there that are doing microorganisms now. I guess the biggest difference, Joe, is that this one has photosynthetic microbes. Could you explain that a little bit before we get into pesticides?
Sure. One of the differences that our manufacturer does is they can stabilize photosynthetic bacteria. And this is important because, as we mentioned before, plants will put out half of the energy that they fix photosynthetically into the rhizosphere, into the soil, to feed the microbes. Well, these microbes can feed themselves. They're not dependent on the plant. So they will fix nitrogen out of the air. The air is 68% nitrogen, and we're throwing down all this nitrogen fertilizer. They can actually take the nitrogen that's in the air and put it into the soil, essentially, so a natural fertilizer. And they're also, by producing photosynthesis, they're producing energy, adding energy into the soil, helping to feed themselves, help to feed other microbes. So they're less dependent on the plant. And that gives the plant more energy for growth. And as we all know, if we have more energy at the end of the day, we get more done, we're healthier. So that's what these guys do.
And so, talking about pesticides, why does the microorganisms that you add to the soil and to the plant give you the relief of pesticides?
Well, you know, let's put this in perspective with human health. If we're healthier, if we eat right and we exercise, we're healthier and we get sick less often. And the same thing is going on with a plant. I think we've thought about this the wrong way as far as treating plants. Is that's exactly what we're doing. We're treating plants. We're treating the symptoms. And what we're trying to do is actually treat the cause of the problem, which is unhealthy soil. And if you can build the soil health up, a plant's going to grow better, be healthier. It's going to repel naturally insects, fungus, pathogens such as bad fungi, bad bacteria, and it's going to grow better.
Mm-hmm. I was explaining to Janelle earlier that it makes all this makes real sense to me because I use BT on my trees because there was an infestation 3 years ago of tent caterpillars and the gypsy moths, and their caterpillars ate everything. You know, I saw forests disappear upstate New York. I mean, literally looked like it was a fire, but it was the caterpillars that ate it. So I'm spraying BT on everything, and BT is, you know, the bacteria?
Bacillus thuringiensis, yeah.
Okay. Well, BT basically enters the caterpillar's body, the way I understand it, when it eats part of the leaf, and it can't digest the food and basically just dies. So that's a natural way of killing off the caterpillars. So it works on cabbages and things like that. And some of that occurs here with these microorganisms also, I believe.
Yeah. Well, the expression we like to use is the enemy of my enemy is my friend. It's an old Chinese proverb. So what you're doing is, again, we're exploiting these natural relationships that have, you know, come up over millions of years have evolved. Bacteria actually will produce antifungal compounds because a bacteria is trying to protect its home, which is the plant. And they can tell the difference, believe it or not, between pathogens and good guys. So they will directly produce compounds that will target bad guys. So that's one way it works. And this is how penicillin was discovered. They were growing bacteria in a lab, and the plate got infected with a fungus or a mold, and they were going to throw it out, but they noticed that around where the mold was growing, no bacteria grew, and sure enough, that's how penicillin was discovered. So what you're doing is you're just exploiting these natural compounds that are produced and these natural relationships. Another way it works is it's a numbers game. So as you build up beneficial bacteria, beneficial fungi in your soil, there's just less room for the pathogens or the bad guys to take hold. There's just not enough resources out there. So, analogy would be is if you had 100 acres of woods and there's 1,000 wolves hunting that area, a lone coyote's not going to be able to come in and hunt those woods. And it's the same thing going on in the soil, even though we can't see it. It's the same exact thing.
But I want to say something about humus in the soil, though. The products that you have don't replace the humus. I mean, the soil itself still needs to have that nice, healthy percentage of
organic matter.
Yeah.
Some of our products do contain humic acids, so you are replenishing some of it, but you're not going to do it alone. What you're really trying to do is have the microbiology and the plant work together to replace the organic matter, and then also practices like composting, minimizing tilling, that would help that. But what the bacteria are doing are keeping these compounds around longer. So all your micronutrients, your organic matter, and photosynthetic bacteria, the process of photosynthesis is taking carbon dioxide out of the air, making that carbon into sugar or organic matter in the soil. So with photosynthetic bacteria, you are building up, with proper practices, you will build up the organic matter.
Now, how does this work with weeds?
They thrive.
Yeah, weeds thrive. Everything loves it.
But, good. So let me ask another question. Now, if we're going to say we're planting a field of, say, just tomatoes, because that's a great subject at this time of the year. Do you use this as a side dressing, or can one application do it, or do you two more, or do you do smaller the numbers?
With the quantum growth products, for instance, we have a general application rate would be about a gallon per acre, or 3 ounces per 1,000 square feet. With biology and even with fertilizers, the rule of thumb is always it's better to do less more often than to do more less often. Yeah. So if you take that gallon and you're going out and watering 5 times a year, I tell you to do 1/5 of a gallon 5 times as opposed to just putting the whole gallon down.
Well, that would be every 2 weeks, or does it make a difference?
Yeah, I would. Our general rate would be about every 2 to 3 weeks. The problem is we just don't know. Everybody's soil's different, so we don't know how long these cultures will be sustained. It depends on the plant's health too, and how well the plant is feeding the biology in the soil. So our rule of thumb would be every 2 to 3 weeks.
That's great. Just for sort of put it into context, when I was starting organic growing, it took me about 4 to 5 years to get the soil to the point where I felt that we were getting a good organic product out of it without having a BRICS check or something that would further tell how much nutrition was. Now, I suspect that what you're talking about, it'd be much quicker than 4 or 5 years to get that soil in good shape. It's almost that year, right?
Yeah, I mean, it depends. I mean, it's certainly going to help you. It's going to depend on where you're starting. If you're starting with 1% organic matter, it's going to take a little bit of time. You can't build that up overnight. If you're starting with fairly healthy soil, yes, you probably cut that in half. Because what you were doing, whether you knew it or not, is you were also inoculating that field, and the plants were feeding the microbes in the field and establishing their microbes, basically coming up with their repertoire of microbes. And that's part of the reason, along with the nutrients in the organic matter in the soil, that soil was getting healthier and sustaining those plants longer.
Guy, this is the first year I have not had aphids. I usually get white, pink, and green aphids on my tomatoes at about 3 or 4 weeks. When they're nice and young and tender, they come sailing in and live underneath the leaf, and I'm out there with organic stuff trying to make soaps and stuff, trying to stop them from growing. And it's a battle. And sometimes I lose a lot of the flowers, so they don't set because of the weakness of the plant. And so in first time in using this kind of stuff that I didn't have aphids in 7 years.
How many years have you been using this, Joe?
Just started this year.
Just this year.
So, yeah, I just discovered
it. It is, in fact, of immediate acting as opposed to a long-term.
Well, what I noticed the most? The dark green color of my tomatoes' leaves. It was a lot darker than I ever saw them. And also a kind of like consistency that was much more substantial. They weren't sort of like flimsy. Wow. So I noticed that right away. And I'm a fish head guy. My fishmonger likes me because I bring him a bag of tomatoes. That's a deal I have, you know. I go there, he gives me flounder, and I throw two flounder in every hole. And and I throw in eggshells. I learned it from a site called growbetterveggies.com. It's an organic farm out west. I mean, you can get it from anywhere. And like I said, like Joe was saying, the Indians know about it. It's nothing new. But, you know, that's the way I look. I do things like that. You know, I'll discover something that works, and my plants always do pretty well. But this year, it's even better, you know. And like I said, if you ever see those Cherokee purples, man, yeah. Get that heirloom. That's a good tomato.
There are other good heirlooms out there, too, Kevin. But yeah, that's good. Cherokee purple is a good one, and it's certainly recognized.
I'm enjoying it this year. So,
but bacteria is such a mighty life form. I read somewhere in your literature, Joe, that these products could be used for disaster sites for cleanup, maybe, and some after tornadoes and hurricanes. And
well, we actually had a bunch of landscapers up here use the product last year after the hurricanes, because especially down here on the shoreline, you know, these lawns were underwater. They sat in the salt water. The salt water evaporated, and all that salt was left behind. You had salt toxicity. And the bacteria will actually, again, they grow to their environment. When there's a lot of salt, certain bacteria will grow and not remove the salt from the area, but detoxify, in a sense. They're binding it up and re-releasing it slowly. And some of the landscapers said that they saw amazing turnarounds. They were able to immediately re-germinate, reseed those lawns. We did some work down on the Gulf with the oil several years ago when the big oil spill. Mm-hmm. And I think, or I know, there were some papers that came out last year. It wasn't the chemicals that they put in the Gulf that eventually cleared it up. It was a stream of bacteria that came in that were able to digest the oil. So to bacteria, carbon is carbon. It's not that simple, but a carbon, whether it's a sugar or carbon in the form of an oil, it's a food source for them. And the right guys will figure out how to digest that and use it as a force, because they are. They're such a resilient, such a neat life form, and that they can adapt to their environments and change and you know, produce certain compounds and certain foods.
Without getting too commercial here, how does one go about getting this material?
You can go to my website, www.greenearthag, greenearthag.com or greenearthagriculture.com, or our number is 866-374-5101.
We probably better repeat that a couple times.
Sure.
And you can also reach me, KevinGallagher23@mac.com, and I can send you some links and stuff like that. KevinGallagher23@mac.com is another way to...
Kevin, this is being recorded, right?
Yes,
this
it
program,
is. Yes.
So that somebody can go back on,
right.
Get into your website and pull this up.
It's on the WPKN archive. I'll mark it and so that people can find it easily. But it's there at this time. You know, you throw in 5 o'clock and this whole segment will come up. The one thing I wanted to bring up before we move on here, and that is some of the interesting things I read and talked to Doug Dent, who's one of the people who deals with a company called MicroBlife. He has a product like that's going to be coming out shortly that's people will be able to get also. He talked about the restorative nature of this stuff. They went to farmers who were basically looking at a crop that was really in bad shape. They may have put too much fertilizer on it, or something went wrong in the growing process, and they didn't. So it was like a loss as far as they're concerned. And one of the people, like Joe, came in and says, "Can I spray my stuff all over your crop and see what happens?" And there's many stories where the plants respond immediately, and they start fruiting, and they're like going, "What the heck is this?" You know, am I right?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on what the toxicity is. A lot of these, these growers were their own worst enemy. Like you said, they over-fertilized, or they used a big one is too much glyphosate, which is the active ingredient in Roundup, which toxifies their soil. And then you add the bacteria down, and these guys are the guys that break down all these compounds. So when you got very toxic soil, you put the bacteria down, they'll break it down quicker. They'll speed up that process to detoxify the soil.
The scourge of the earth.
How does it work on orchards?
On various trees, on fruit trees. Yeah, we do all kinds of trees. As a matter of fact, the company started down in Florida, the manufacturer, and their primary business driver for many years and probably still to this day are orange trees. We do a lot of work with the orange groves down in Florida, including, you know, one of the largest organic producers of oranges and mm-hmm. for all the big companies down there. So, again, in some cases they've come to us because they've had problems with their soil from too much chemical use or a big problem down there is citrus greening. And we use the bacteria to try to help them turn around their soil and build better soil and better health. And especially down in Florida, we're very, very sandy soil. Very poor soils. But yeah, we've crossed the board. We've done cherry trees, apples, all across the board. A tree, you know, again, what you're doing is you're building soil health. So anything, a tree, a shrub, turf, any sort of plant will be better in better soil.
Now, what happens when you put this on, a compost pile or put it on material that you want to develop into a compost or just decomposed material?
Yeah, we have a lot of users that use it in that manner too. So they, you know, they're producing their own compost or they're brewing what are called compost teas. And when you're doing that, it's an open inoculation and it's input dependent. So you don't know what's in there. You know, one day you put banana peels, one day you're putting grass clippings. So what you do with our cultures is you can seed those piles. So you know what's going in and you're starting them off, and you could use a lot less that way. And then they'll grow up in the pile and you know what you're starting with and who's growing up in that pile. And these are the same ones that eventually will end up through your compost on the plants.
And they have a thatch product. You know, everybody ever seen those machines that you have to dethatch your lawn and it just rips up the whole lawn. You start all over. These, you spray that on and the microbes start decomposing the thatch. They use that brown grass that you see in between all the blades down there mm-hmm. and they decompose it and feed it right into the soil. And because they're there in such proclivity, the like grubs and stuff have a tougher time living too. It's not to say that they get rid of them, but it makes their environment a lot more difficult.
Yeah, we have our landscapers have actually developed what's called we got a big group of landscapers that are called, they're using this product now as part of what's their liquid aeration. So like you said, soil gets compacted and things can't grow in it. You can't get roots down, and they'll use the microbes to help relieve that compaction, because you're building up the whole soil food web. So not just the bacteria, but the bacteria will stimulate fungal growth, which will stimulate beneficial nematode and worms and down the way. And all that loosens the soil and helps it out. And these guys actually don't go out and aerate the soils anymore, which is this big cumbersome process. Mm-hmm. They're using this as a liquid aeration. It's doing just as well. They've done side-by-side trials.
Amazing. Well, you're listening to WPKN Radio. Where else you're going to hear like this kind of stuff? This is cool technology. I got really excited about it, so that's why I invited Joe up here, and that's why I invited Guy Beardsley and Janelle to participate in talking about this subject of beneficial microorganisms. If you want some more information, you can always go to Green Earth Agriculture. The product is Quantum Growth. It's really for big users, I guess, in a lot of cases. Right?
Yeah, across the board. I mean, most of what we use in commercial agriculture, but mm-hmm. I was just up at the NOFA show this weekend, and little 8-ounce bottles to quarts all the way up the thing. We're helping everybody. So I love talking about it.
Right. Okay. And so, Joe, why don't you give your information one more time, and don't forget to tune in to Guy Beardsley's show, The Organic Farm Stand, one of the great shows on WPKN at noon.
Yeah, we probably ought to have Joe on it again.
Yeah,
that would be outstanding, because this is really organic material. That's right. This is Omni certified. And so you just don't have to worry about it. Any GMOs or any of the commercial synthetic fertilizers.
He's giving his okay here to the whole thing. But, you know, a guy didn't know about this until about a week ago. and I've never really sat down behind a microphone with Guy. So this is coming just from his heart here about what he's hearing about this product. So
that's great, yeah. And, the company is Green Earth Agriculture, www.greenearthag.com. And I'd love to do Guy's show. I'd love to talk about
Joe, you've really done a tremendous job.
Yeah,
I think
job.
A big assist in the overall agricultural sphere.
So excited that this might change some things.
Exactly.
You know?
I hope so.
I hope so, too. So we'll have to get the word out that, you know, here's something that may bury the oil-based fertilizer industry. We'll see, you know. Who knows, you know. I'm Kevin Gallagher. We're WPKN, and we'll be heading back into some music here. Thanks to everybody for joining me.
Let those December winds bellow and blow. I'm as warm as a July toad.